Translation I've asked Jeff to read, John 15.
Okay. I am a true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you, so you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. I am the sprouting vine, and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. I love each of you with the same love that my Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, for I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. So this is my command: love each other deeply, as much as I have loved you. But the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all, and this great love is sacrifice is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. You wanted me to stop at verse 11, didn't you?
You can go on.
I couldn't remember if it was 1 through 15.
It was okay.
Okay, you good? All right.
Yep. I love this translation. You know, when I sang that little tune that was NIV, and it said, abide in him, abide in you. But this translation says, remain in life union, remain in life union. So that really changes it. Do you have that little picture that you can put on the overhead? This is a definition. It's a verb, abide. And it means to remain, to dwell in. A lot of other things. Someone says wait, tarry. Do you have it? Oh. Is it up there? Oh, it's not working? It's okay. That's okay. I gave it to him before service, and I probably should have given it to him even before that. Oh, the projector's not working. Okay, in the name of Jesus, start working. In the name of Jesus. I love it that we can ask Jesus anytime for power, and we can ask him anytime. We don't know what his answer is going to be, but we know the word of God says to remain in him and who he is. A couple things happened this morning. Steve Crane talked, and he said, overcomers, that's what I am. I'm up here today because I'm an overcomer. I've overcome a lot of physical things, spiritual things, physical things. I overcome because the overcomer lives in me and I live in him. And if I didn't abide in him, I would be, you know, a real mess. But the Lord is someone, he is so amazing. He's so loving. God loves each one of you so much. He just wants to nourish you. He wants to hug you every day. See that you have all your needs met, not just one of them, just not that physical need. He cares about when you hurt, and I'm going to go into details about this later, but he cares about if every single area of your life, you are special to him. And The Book of Song of Songs, who's read that? Anybody read the Song of Songs before? Well, if you've read that, you know that that woman, the Shulamite woman, she had these experiences with her Lord. And throughout life, we're going to find ourselves in lots of different circumstances and levels of relationship with our Lord. And one year, you might find yourself in this real mature place, you know, you think. And the next year, you might find yourself at way down where she is actually halfway through the book. The Lord has come to her and she's like, oh, I'm not quite ready. And you're just not ready for that next step yet. But all throughout our lives, we're in different places with the Lord. We go through pruning. And anyway, I just wanted you to know that. I got a song several months ago, actually a couple years ago now, almost. Bruce had preached a wonderful sermon, and I got a song during that sermon. I don't know if any of you remember, but I'm just going to read it. The Lord was saying to us, I'm going to open up the heavens, show you realms you've never seen. I'm going to give you what you are hungry for. Simply abide in me. Drink, 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 abide in me. And when the Lord spoke to me, and he spoke to all of us through that song, it stayed with me because I needed to hear that. I have been through so many things. If you don't know me, I had a tumor found in my brain in 2017. Not in my brain, right underneath my brain, right on my top of my right in the back, in the middle, actually, of my head. But it was something they couldn't remove all of it. So I've had this tumor, and they took out most of it, and then I had the radiation treatment after a couple surgeries. And then I just had to allow myself time. You know, I had to wait, just dwell in the Lord and allow him to dwell in me. And then I was able to overcome, okay? So, but I would never, I would never have been able to overcome if I hadn't known the word of truth and had that hidden in my heart. So I would not sin against God, but that I would enter into the fullness of what God has for me. And I wanted to thank every one of you because every one of you has spoken in my heart. I can't thank you enough, worship team, for you being obedient and speaking the word of truth as the Holy Spirit shares it with you. I love that about the Holy Spirit. But in this song, the Lord was saying, I haven't made this hard. He said, simply abide. So to abide in Christ is not a hard thing. You know, we just make it so hard. You know, I think years ago, most of us, we got raised in a religious home maybe, or we experienced religion, and there was some level of the law that we were taught. But to follow the law is wonderful because Christ is the law. But we are not under the law. We have the law of the Spirit of life. Since Jesus came, since Jesus overcame, we can overcome and live in that new life. So anyway, the next thing I wanted to bring out to you is the definition verb for abide. It says letting Christ's word dwell in us. That's one of the interpretations. Then the next one, definition is reforms our desires, and number three, directs our wills. So those three things, all of them, we can't live without all of them. We need all of these to move in our hearts and transform us into that very image of Christ that he longs to see on the earth, because as we shine, in our own private lives, we're going to cause the whole world to see a picture of Jesus that they need to see. The best part of resting, and that's the next thing, is still resting and being still before God. And you need to be silent to hear his voice. Sometimes it may be just a strong impression. We also abide in God by really listening to each other and to each other's encouraging words that come through each other. I'm just going to go a little out of my notes here, but as I was listening on Sunday mornings, I always listen to y'all, but I've received so much truth from different speakers. We have fabulous elders that rely on Christ, trust in God, know his power, and also trust that he can use even flawed people, people that are not perfect, people that are just human beings. Jesus Christ is the word of truth. And it says in Hebrews 12, it says, "For the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing right through to separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." It's all about, in that verse, the Lord knowing that we are human. We have bones. We have marrow. We are just in earthly bodies right now. But when we have the eternal life through Jesus Christ, we have his life in us if we abide in it. I listened to Sunday morning, it says, Bruce one time recently, he spoke on people perishing without a vision. That really spoke to me. I don't know about you, but I had been given a lot of visions, but one main one in my life was to preach the gospel. And I love doing that. I love being an evangelist. I love sharing my life. I love. But that vision had perished or dropped as I got ill. It was hard for me to recover. But again, the Lord helped me to overcome. Lisa. Thank you, Lisa. She spoke mentioning faith is a doorway. It really was a phrase that gripped my heart, Lisa. And I saw that faith was opening a door in this congregation, in this house. As we walk by faith, we're going to see the very work of the Lord in our lives and in those around us. Mackenzie, everybody has been saying such wonderful things, but you have to have ears to hear. You can't just, you know, listen and not hear. Hearing is an active thing. You can put it to pen if you hear something that really becomes a rhema. Did you know rhema, the word of God is alive? It's different than logos, which is the written word. A rhema word is a word that you hear that makes sense. It clicks. It's like, woo! I get those and I love it. But you listen to the Lord by paying attention to him. Now, another way that the Lord talks to you maybe or me, but to Jeff a lot, is through dreams. He's talked to, in the Bible, a lot through people's dreams, you know. There's all kinds of people that dreamed and the Lord was speaking so passionately to them and they listened. And Jeff listens to his dreams. He keeps a dream journal. And I started to keep a dream journal, but I don't get as many dreams. I had a dream the other day. My brother Tim was outside. Well, this is what it sounded like. I heard the audible voice of my brother. He's my older brother, 5 years. But he's a godly man. He just loves the word. He lives in the word. And but I heard him saying, "Can't you hear me?" I was like, what? And he's, can't you hear me? And so I thought he was at the front door. So I got out of bed. I went to the front door. Now, this isn't the first time this has happened to me. I had a dream on another time where audible voices like that. And I remember that, Jeremy, or Justin, when I went out to the street when God was saying something. He said, wake up and take your children to the street. Anyway, that's another story. But in this dream, my brother, and this is how God, a lot of times when he talks to us, he will talk to us in things that we will understand. Okay, like for years, my dad represented God because he came and got me. I was a very rebellious teenager, and he rescued me. He forgave me. He just came after me and welcomed me back. But as the years went on here, now my brother, he was there for me in my surgeries. He was there praying and watching over me. So he was like a representation of God to me, okay? So what the Lord was saying to me in this dream was, are you going to listen to me? It was really the Lord. He was trying to wake me up. And there were some things he had spoken to me before, you know, like, arise and go shine, you know, things like from the word in my heart. But I wasn't being obedient because at this time when I heard a stream, I had been in a lot of mouth pain right through here since my surgery. And Michelle Farr, you're such a gem. She prayed for me the other day and laid her hands on my face. And a spirit lifted off me at that time. It was just amazing. But we need each other. We need to share our lives. You have no idea the impact you're making on another person. I can't see your faces really clearly today because I just don't, I only have the one eye and I, so right now anyway. The Lord wants us to know that we have his spirit in us, and that is impactful, even if we don't say a word, because his spirit is alive in us. His word is alive in us. Anyway, so I listened to God after hearing Bruce say, get vision. I had listened to God when he said, through my brother, to wake up. All these things caused me to abide or remain in Christ, who showed me he really wanted me to reform my desires, change them, and make them agree with him. That's what reform is. And that's what abiding is. So the Bible talks about many things to abide in. I'm going to just go through the list of things, and I might stop at one or two. Abide in the light. Abide in the name of God. And again, we've talked about that, Lisa, during worship. God was saying to us, name, abide in my name. Now, the different names of God, you've heard Emmanuel. So if there is a time we feel alone, we have to remember Emmanuel, God is with us. And so when he is with us, we are with him. We get peace, you know? Then the other words, counselor. We need to abide in his counsels, in the counsels of godly people that we share life with. The Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. These are all names of God that he wants us to not only know intellectually, but have them in our hearts so we can pull from the very person of God, the very person that he is. Abide in the truth, God says, and he is the truth. Of course, Jesus said that. Wisdom, and Jesus was wisdom personified. Divine understanding through relationship. You have to abide in the path or the way that Jesus said, I am the way, abide in me. Abide in love. If you abide in love, you're abiding in the, you're listening to the first commandment, to love God with all your heart. and soul and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to have to skip some of this because if you abide in the character of God, just think about Galatians 5:22, the 9 fruits of the Spirit. If you want to be fruitful and you're struggling with maybe one fruit, just concentrate on a name of God that gives you revelation about that fruit, and then just live in Him. And the thing with abiding in Christ or remaining in Him is to trust. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust or rely. Or the third one is believe in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. Or in other words, submit to Him in every area of your life. Then He will direct your path. Let's see what else. Oh, okay. We're doing communion today. Did you know that Jesus says in His word that He can't wait to have communion with us? To remain in Him and Him in us. We're having communion all the time. When we have communion at this table, we're sharing it with each other. But as I would really like, and I hear the Lord saying this, I want your communion times to be longer. I want you to dwell on me. I want you to pray and seek me deeply as a group. If you want this house to go places in God, you have to go places in the Spirit and pray, pray, pray. Okay, so Romans 6. I'm just going to go over this a little bit because I can't. You know, the red edition is a little harder for me to read. It's not black, but red letter edition. Here we go. This is from Romans 6:26. And not Romans, John. John 6, verse 26. Jesus was talking to them. In this chapter, okay, I'm going to just give you a context a little bit. Jesus just got done feeding 5,000 people. And He just got done walking on the water. And these people are coming after Him. And He said in verse 26, "Let me make this very clear." And this is from the Passion Translation again. "You came looking for me because I fed you, not because I fed you." Oh, I'm sorry. I've got to start over again. "Let me make this very clear. You came looking for me because I fed you by a miracle, not because you believed in my name." That's the big trouble with this generation. We are hearing the word, but we're not believing it. His heart is so gripped for us. He wants us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God, but He wants us to believe the words that are written. We can't just hear them. And a lot of times we need to wait. Now, I've been put in a time in my life, and most of you probably have gone through times in life where you've had to wait for your miracle. You've had to wait for something the Lord promised. But if we believe, just like Sarah and Abram, they were old geezers, yet they had a baby. Because they believed God, and it was accredited as faith to them. It was righteousness to them. Okay, one more thing. okay. "Not because you believed in me." Why? Jesus says in verse 27, "Why would you strive for food that is perishable and not be passionate to seek the food of eternal life, which never spoils? I, the Son of Man, am ready to give you what matters more. For God the Father has destined me for this purpose. Isn't that wonderful? John 3:16, God so loved the world. He so loves us, and he still does. It hasn't changed at all. And Jesus said, continues on, verse 28, and they replied, what should we do if we want to do the works of God? And Jesus answered, he said, the work you can do for God starts with believing in the one he has sent. So it all, if we are praying for somebody for salvation, we need to pray that they get a rhema, that God is alive, that he loves them, and that they would believe in him.